the title of the message and really the title of our series these next few weeks is we are talking about fatal attractions. Fatal attractions. How many of you guys realize out there tonight that there are things that can be attractive to people's lives that can be fatal, that could be detrimental to our lives? Amen. And we can probably even say this more importantly, there are attractions, there are things out there that can draw us, pull us, that really can be fatal or detrimental to our spiritual lives as well. And so tonight we're going to be talking about fatal attractions. Now what I want to do first before we go any further is I just want a showing of hands. I'm going to ask you a question. And there's no guilt in the house tonight, no condemnation, no shame. But how many of you guys recognize the song that was playing in the background of that video? Wow. All right. How about this? Because it's a little bit awkward, you weren't ready for it, and I didn't ask you that question before it played. The song is called Young, Wild, and Free by Wiz Khalifa. Now, that's not really important. But now that you know the song, who wrote it? All right, now another showing of hands. If you recognize that song, you've heard it before. What happened to all the hands? You're supposed to... All right. So, I have to admit tonight, Pastor Joe is responsible for putting that song in the background of that video. I asked the video department to do that, and some of you guys are shaking your heads because you know what the lyrics are like. But the reason why, and I'm actually going to read you some of the lyrics here in just a moment, but the reason why I asked for that song to be put in the background is because I really think it's a good picture of some of the things that are attractive to the world. I really think it paints a good picture. The writers of the song, I really think they did a good job, again, painting a picture of what's really attractive to the world, along with all the other things that you saw go across the screen. All right, now tonight, I'm going to read to you some the words of the song. It's actually, they start off the song with the chorus, and of course we know that the chorus is the thing that is... the words come around the most in a song, but this is what they say. They say, the chorus goes, "So what, we get drunk? So what, we smoke weed? We're just having fun. We don't care who sees." It goes on to say, "So we go out, so what, we go out? That's how it's supposed to be, living young and wild and free." Look at your neighbor and say, "That's messed up." As a Christian, it should be messed up to you. But again, the point is, I think lyrics like that, I think obviously the things that went across the screen are a good picture of the things that the world is attracted to. Let's just be honest. Every time you, even as a Christian, you turn around, you turn on the TV, you go see a movie, you go to work, these things are always being thrown in your face. Can I get a witness in here? I mean, I testify, amen. I have to admit, over the course of my life, I've had probably two licks of alcohol, a sip of champagne and a sip of, which is my grandmother's at a wedding, and a sip of wine, which is my aunt's at a family get-together. And so needless to say, I've never had any issue with alcohol whatsoever, but how many of you out there have ever seen those Dos Equis commercials? Every time they come on, I get, you know, it's the ones that, you know, he says, "I don't drink all the time, but when I drink, it's Dos Equis, stay thirsty, my friends," you know. And they talk about, you know, this guy was born with a full beard at, you know, coming out of the womb and all this kind of, and it really grabs your attention. But anyways, the point being is that let's just be honest, these are the things that are attractive to the world. Not only are they attractive to the world, but these are the things that they're exalting, these are the things that they're glorifying, and really, let's be honest, they hope that these things will be attractive to everybody. Now, how many of you realize out there that as Christians, the things that are attractive to the world should not be attractive to us? When I look at the Word of God and I see God paint a picture of the world and I see God paint a picture of what a Christian looks like, I see two very different, two very distinguished, two very clearly separate pictures, two complete different lifestyles, two complete different attitudes, two completely different mindsets, two completely different hearts. But the reality is tonight is that oftentimes, especially in the lives of young adults, is not only are these things that we put up attractive to the world, but they're attractive to Christians. They're attracted to the very people that come into church, that sing the songs and that love God. And today, what we're wanting to do is we're wanting to address some of these attractions that could be fatal, that could be detrimental to your life. Because here's the bottom line: we, as the Rock Church, as pastors here, and most importantly, Jesus Christ wants to see you succeed, wants to see you prosper, wants to see, what I tell my Bible college class all the time, wants you to see you become everything that God's called you to be and do everything that God's called you to do. You know, if you were at church this last weekend, you saw what a high price Jesus paid for you. What a high price he paid for you. And he didn't go all the way to that cross and pay such a high price so that we could just live like the rest of the world and really be destroyed like the rest of the world, which is what comes out of, obviously, fatal attractions. I'm reminded of this verse. It's in Romans chapter 6, verse number 13. If you brought your Bibles, you can turn there with me. Romans chapter 6, verse number 13. Give you just a little bit of a picture that God paints of Christians versus the world. And really, not only Christians versus the world, but also Christians versus what they used to be. What they used to be. All right? So there should have been a change in our life. Of course, most everybody here knows the song Amazing Grace. I once was blind, but now I see. Not I once was blind, and I'm still a little bit blind. No, I once was lost, but now I'm... I once was bound, but now I'm free. So there should be a change. Let me get there real quick. Romans chapter 6, verse number 13 says this: "And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God." I like this next part. "As being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." And your members as instruments of righteousness to God. What are we talking about here? We're talking about tonight not presenting your members. Pastor Joe, what do you mean, my members? I'm talking about your body, your mind. I'm talking about your eyes. I'm talking about your ears. What is that old song that used to sing, you know, "For the Father up above is looking down with love, so be careful, little eyes." That's what the Bible's talking about. Do not present your members, your eyes, your ears, your mind, your soul, yourself to the things that you saw go across the screen or the things that we just read in those lyrics. It says, but present yourselves as Christians to God as being, I like this, alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. That is how you and I are supposed to operate in our lives. All right, so tonight, fatal attractions, what is an attraction? What does attraction mean? Tonight, here's a definition, a few of them actually. Attraction means the act, power, or property of attracting. Attractive, an attractive quality. I like this next word. A magnetic charm, fascination, allurement, enticement. Anybody ever heard curiosity killed the cat? All right, a characteristic or quality that provides pleasure, an attractive feature. All right, the word attraction speaks of the power to draw or pull someone to itself. The power to draw or pull someone to itself. This is what it means. This is what the word attraction means. So what kinds of things, I guess the question tonight would be for each and every one of us, what kinds of things are attracting you? What kinds of things have a pull on your life? Tonight, what kinds of things dictate where you go in life, the decisions that you make? What are the things that are fighting for your attention, for your time, for your energy, for your effort, for your money? Amen. What kinds of things are attractive to you? Take a moment and answer that in your heart. Really, really take a moment and say, you know what? I'm going to ask myself, what is attracting me? What is drawing me? What is pulling on me? What am I being brought towards? And you'll find tonight that you have an attraction in that area. Now, let's be honest tonight. Attraction doesn't necessarily mean that you have something bad in your life. All right? You could have good, godly attractions. And hopefully by the end of the night and by the end of this series, all of us will come to a place where, you know what, the things of God are the things that attract us instead of the old dead things of the world. Can I get an amen? So tonight, what is attracting you? What holds your attention? What's pulling you toward it? Now, I also want to say this before we get into the points tonight, is that actually it's a song written by Casting Crowns, and it's a little bit old now, but it's called Slow Fade. It's called Slow Fade. And the song talks about, basically the song comes along and says, daddies don't crumble in a day. Mommies don't crumble in a day. People's lives don't go from being good and being okay to the next day destroyed and all messed up and jacked up. No, it's the song says, it's a slow fade. It's over the process of time, a little compromise here and a little compromise there, a little giving into this over here, a little bit of allowing these things into my life over here, which over the process of time, now I find myself where I once was good with God. I was once okay. I was once on it. I was once where I needed to be. Now all of a sudden I'm finding my life destroyed. And so tonight, you may be sitting here today, and you may say, you know, Pastor Joe, I don't necessarily have an attraction to the things that went across the screen. I'm doing okay. But sadly, what happens in the lives of Christians is it's a slow fade. It's a little compromise here, a little compromise there, and before you know it, you're singing a song along with them. So what? I get drunk. So what? It's a slow fade. So tonight, we want to talk about fatal attractions, and what I want to do is I want to ask two questions. I want to ask two questions and answer the two questions as our 2 points tonight. These are not hot topic questions. These are questions I came up with on my own, or I should say with God. I like questions. I think God likes questions too. If you're here a few weeks ago, you got to see a video that Pastor Luke played called God's Chisel. And this man starts off and he's addressing the crowd and addressing you and I as we're watching. And then all of a sudden God shows up and says, hey, how you doing? I'm God. He's like, no, you're not God. Yes, I am. He's like, okay, if you're God, and he starts asking God questions. Well, God starts answering his questions with questions. And then all of a sudden the guy goes, oh, you answered my question with a question. You are God. And you know what? The bottom line is that if you look throughout the Word of God, there are verses full of questions. And if you and I were a wise kind of a side note, when we're studying the Word of God, answer those questions. It may be redundant. You may know the answer. But the reason why God asks us questions is because it puts us in a place where we answer and we allow the elevator to go all the way to the top. I get it. So tonight I've got two questions for you regarding fatal attractions, and we are going to answer these two questions. Question number one, point number one is, what is a fatal or detrimental attraction? What is a fatal or detrimental attraction? Hey, if there's something about an attraction that's fatal, or if there's an attraction out there that will be detrimental to my life, I want to know what it is. I want to know what it looks like. Why? Because I want to steer clear of that in my life, right? Isn't that right? So then what is it? All right? So once we define it, that we'll know then what it is, and we'll be able to all the better steer clear of it in our lives, all right? So a fatal attraction or a detrimental attraction is anything that pulls or draws you away from the will of God. Anything that pulls or draws you away from the will of God. Let me say again, Pastor Joe, you know what? I don't have a problem smoking weed, getting drunk, doing the stuff that I saw. So we're going to lump everybody all together tonight, and we're going to say, hey, the realization is that anything that draws or pulls you away from the will of God, that is a fatal or at the very least a detrimental attraction in your life. Now let's also say this and kind of bring it a little bit closer to home, go a little bit deeper, go to a place where we can maybe look at our lives a little bit closer. A detrimental or a fatal attraction is also an attraction or a drawing or a pulling. I should say this, something that pulls on you so much that you pursue it at the expense of your relationship with God. Something that draws you or pulls you so much that you pursue that thing at the expense of your relationship with God. Well, Pastor Joe, what exactly are you talking about? All right, so maybe it's not weed, maybe it's not drugs, sex, all this stuff, and going with people who do. But maybe it is something like, let's just be honest, maybe it's just something like being successful. You know, I remember a few weeks ago, actually, Pastor Luke was preaching, and he was talking about how, you know, well, myself and him, we grew up in youth together here. He's been here at The Rock since he was born. But so me, like, four, I don't know, maybe it's like 16 years now, 14 to 16 years I've been here. And we've seen a lot of people come, and we've seen a lot of people go. And let's be honest, let me say this too before I go on, is that there are things out there that all of us tonight would agree that, okay, maybe I wouldn't necessarily call that thing evil, or I wouldn't call that thing bad. But if that thing has such a pull, such an attraction on your life that you pursue it at the expense of your relationship with God, it's now become a fatal or a detrimental attraction. What am I talking about? I'm talking about we've seen a lot of people come, we've seen a lot of people go over the course of time, throughout youth, throughout young adults. I'm 28 now. Next year, I'm getting the boot. Just kidding. Just kidding. But we've seen people, and because all of a sudden now, their pursuit for a career, their pursuit to be successful, I got a job, now has not allowed them any more time to come to church. They don't have any more time now to open up their Bible and read. They don't have any more time to pray. They don't have any more time to grow in their relationship with God. So does God not want you to have a career? Absolutely not. He wants you to have a career. Does God not want you to be successful? Absolutely not. He wants you to be successful. But now if you're going to pursue that thing at the expense of your relationship with God, it's now become an attraction that is detrimental and that can be fatal to your walk with God. How about this one? How about relationships? How about the pursuit of a spouse? You know, that seems to be a big one throughout young adults, teens, on through our age. You want to get married. Now, let's just be honest, between all of us here tonight, the desire or having the idea of getting married, that being attracted to somebody, that's not an evil thing. That's not a bad thing. If you desire to get married, praise God, because there are a lot of people out there messed up. You know what I mean. All right? However, if your desire for a spouse, let's even go this, because maybe you're here to, I could be single the rest of my life and be happy, whatever. I didn't mean it like that. How about just relationships? You just want friends. God created all of us in such a way that, you know what, fellowship is good. Fellowship is fun. Fellowship is healthy for your life. But when the pursuit of a spouse or the pursuit of relationships has such an attraction to you that you pursue that at the expense of your relationship with God, again, now it's become an attraction that's fatal or that's detrimental to your life. I can name people I've seen grow up in youth and they just fell in love at 16 with somebody else in youth. We're talking about two Christians. And because one broke the other one's heart, one thing led to the next, and today they're not in church anymore. That attraction became detrimental and even fatal to their life. If you are in the house tonight and you are willing to date a non-believer, if you're willing to date somebody who's not serving God, guess what? That attraction now has just become a detrimental attraction. That attraction can pull you out of church, can pull you away from God, and you can end up marrying that person and in a whole lot more trouble than you ever imagined. So anytime you and I, okay, it's not drugs, it's not alcohol, it's not sex, but what kind of pursuits are you pursuing today? Maybe it's Xbox Live. Thank you, Jesus, I've been forgiven. So I was my roommate on my days off, 8 a.m. to 8 a.m. No, I'm just kidding. No, I didn't go, I never went. Did I ever go? I went 12 hours one time with you. Maybe it was my bachelor party, so that's okay. I'm pulling him into this, so I don't. I don't know what it. Whatever it may be, when you pursue something at the expense of your relationship with God, that thing is now a fatal or a detrimental attraction. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Turn there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. I like what Paul says here. Actually, we talked about this in our Hot Topic night. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. He says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me." You know, let me just stop right there. He says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful." You know, you'll save yourself a lot of heartache, a lot of pain, a lot of trouble if you'll just ask yourself, is this thing going to be helpful to my life? I may like it, I may think it's cool, but is this really going to help? Is this really going to benefit my life and my relationship with God? Because the bottom line is, if it isn't, you can live without it. Amen? All right? So all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. What is helpful? All right? All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach and stomach for the foods, but God will destroy both it and them. All of a sudden now Paul comes along and he brings out, okay, so we talked about drugs, we talk about alcohol, we talk about sex, we talked about pursuing your careers, we talk about pursuing relationships. All of a sudden he just comes along and says something as little as foods for the stomach and stomach for the foods. Foods for the stomach and stomach for the foods. These can be detrimental attractions. I like what he says about it. If you go back up to the end of the 12th verse, he says, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Paul literally comes along and says, I will not allow anything to have such a pull on my life, to have such a drawing on my life that it has control over me. Did you know that any time that you, whatever you, let me put it like this, whatever you give yourself to, the more that thing is going to have control of you. The more you give yourself to something, the more control that thing has over your life. It may be just a little bit. The Bible says it like this, actually back in Romans, but it says, the Bible says, to whom you yield your members, remember your members, your mind, your eyes, your ears, your body, to whom you yield your members, slaves to obey, you are that thing's slaves to obey. That's going real deep, right? You yield your members, slaves to obey, then you're going to be a slave to obey. All right? What is it saying? When you and I, every time we give ourselves over to something, the more we get, the more that thing has control over our lives. I like what he says. He says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, I just want to tell this story real quick. Brother Hagin, back when I was in Bible college, told this story, and let's just be honest, the story was a little bit extreme, but I really admired his story and what he did. Brother Hagin, he was the founder of the Bible college there and the church there and whatnot. And actually, he passed away the year after we graduated at like 83 or 84. Anyways, great man of God. He comes along and he was telling us his story along the lines of this verse. And he says, back when he was like in his 30s or 40s, he had a certain routine throughout the week. He'd leave a certain place on the campus there at Rhema, and he'd go over to another building and get ready for the next part of his day. Well, on this route that he always took, he always walked the same way, there was a Coke machine. And he said every day throughout the week, I'd stop and I'd get a Coke. All right, then one day he walks across, if I remember the story exactly correct, he walks across this Coke machine and he didn't have change for the machine. And all of a sudden, he said his flesh was like, ah, I need Coke! And he realized what a pull, how much power that, we were talking about being addicted to Coca-Cola. he realized how much of a pull Coca-Cola had on him. And he said, you know what? From this day on, I will never drink another Coke the rest of my life. And God, as God is my witness and his, he never had another one for 40 more years. 40 or 50 or however much longer he lived. All right, so that's extreme. I'm not telling you to quit Coke. I am telling you to quit Coke, the bad kind, but not Coca-Cola. But the point is, going back to what is a detrimental or what is a fatal attraction? Anything that has such a strong pull on your life. It makes your flesh scream. That's a fatal. That could be a detrimental. That is a harmful attraction in your life. All right, so what is a fatal or a detrimental attraction? We listed a number of things. Point number two today in our last point. Why are fatal attractions attractive? Why do you think fatal or harmful or detrimental attractions are attractive? If the thing's going to hurt me, why does it attract me? Now, the answer that I put here is not the only answer that I believe answers this question, but it's a good one. Actually, one that I saw in the Word of God today that I hadn't seen before, and I'm glad I get to share with you. Thank God for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who leads us and guides us as we read the Word of God. But why are fatal attractions attractive? They are attractive because of a lack of the Word of God in our lives. Why are fatal attractions attractive? They are attractive because of a lack of the Word of God in our lives. Now, the Bible comes along. This is interesting to me because the Bible comes along and says things like this, and you may be familiar with this verse, but it says, the Word, your Word, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How many of you guys have heard that verse before? So all of a sudden now, the Bible paints this picture of the Word of God being the thing that illuminates the path that you're walking, Why do you need a path that's lit? Have you ever tried to, how many of you have, probably everybody here, try to get up in the middle of the night and go get some water, walk through your living room, stub your toe? Man, some people over here even felt the pain. They're like, oh, I remember. What did you need? You needed light. Why? So that you could see the obstacles or the things that were a detriment to your life, to your pathway, so that you could maneuver around them. Remember we were talking about, we said earlier, we want to steer clear of fatal attractions. All right, so the Bible comes along and says, the word of God is a lamp to my feet and it is the light. So if you don't have or you don't know the word of God, what happens according to that verse? No light. No, that's good. No word, no light. And some of you are looking at me like, I don't want to make it. We're not going, these are not trick questions. No word, no light. No light, you're going to run into fatal attractions. Why are fatal attractions attractive? Because of a lack of the word of God in my life. And there's another verse that says, the entrance of your word gives light. The entrance, in other words, when it goes in your eye gate, when it goes in your ear gate, you hear the word of God. The entrance of God's word brings light to your life. It brings understanding to your life. To your life. All right? No word, no light. No light, no understanding, and I'm going to run into fatal attractions. Now I'm going to see if I can bring it home with this verse right here. Because this verse, while I think that you guys can already see it in the verses that we've already discussed, I think this verse puts it in such a way that it becomes all the more clear that without the word of God, you and I are going to be attracted to the things that the world is attracted to. That the world is attracted to. The things that you and I as Christians should thank God for Jesus Christ. And today as a Christian, man, I thank God I'm not attracted to the things that maybe I've been a goody two-shoes all my life, but the things that I would have been attracted to had I not had Jesus. I was reminded again this Easter, where would I be if Jesus hadn't loved me? Where would I be if he hadn't cared? Where would I be if he hadn't sacrificed his life? Oh, but I'm glad that he did. Why? So that the things of the world aren't, the things that are attracted to the world are no longer attracted to me any longer. The song my dad used to sing on the piano when I was a little boy. Where would I be if Jesus hadn't loved me? Bum, bum. All right, Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 13. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 13. I don't know about you, but there should be some times when you're at home in your bedroom, you should get down for Jesus. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 13. Why are fatal attractions attractive? They are attractive because of a lack of the word of God in our lives. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 13, it says here, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age. Now stop right there, look back up at me, because the Bible just did this picture painting thing again. And it painted two pictures, one of a babe and one who was a full age. All right, it's okay to answer when I ask questions. All right, he comes along, and he also uses, there's two other pictures. One only drinks milk, and the other one eats solid food. Now, what's interesting to me about this is this is real relatable to me because I have a 13-month-old little boy, and if it were up to him, he'd drink bottles for the rest of his life. For those of you, you have to actually break your child of drinking bottles, and you have to make them eat solid food, otherwise, you know, they'll never go back. In fact, when you first start off, they don't want nothing to do with the food. Just give me the bottle. And you're like, okay, just to make you stop screaming. But a baby only drinks and only wants milk. If it weren't for the parents, he'd be that way for the rest of his life. Look at the verse again. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. It gives the picture to me that it's up to you. It's my choice what kind of food I'm going to partake of. Is it going to be milk only, or is it going to be solid food? All right, Pastor Joe, what are you talking about? What is milk? All right, milk is, this is what milk is. Actually, I don't want to go there yet. Yes, I do. Yes. Yes, I do. No, I don't. All right. One more time. Look at the verse. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, watch what he says, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've read this verse before, and I'm like, I don't get it, God. By using what? Reason of use what? All right? So many times, all you have to go back and do is read it in context one more time from the top of the verse. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the what? It's talking about the word of God. Everyone who partakes of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use, the use of the word of God. So what is milk? Milk is, sometimes I bring my Bible to church, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I go to church, sometimes I don't. I just get a little bit here and maybe a little bit there. Easter, Christmas for sure. What are we talking about? Just going milk deep, just skin deep. The Bible says, for everyone who partakes like that is drinking only of milk, and they're unskilled in the word of righteousness, for they are babies, all right? But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, all right? Those who by reason of use, those who bring their Bibles to church, amen. Those who take time throughout the week to break it open and see what it has to say. Those who put verses to memory, to remembrance. Those who are digging, those who are hungry, those who are trying to go a little bit deeper, those who are growing in the things of God. Give me more. I need more. This milk ain't doing it anymore. I need some food. I need some steak and potatoes. I need... All right, now watch what he says one more time. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use, watch what happens now. Watch the return, if you will, or the reward, or the fruit that is born of a person who's partaking of solid food. He says, one more time. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So the thought came to me, why are fatal attractions attractive if they're harmful? Because we've come to a place in our life where we've not used the Bible like we should, and therefore we don't know the difference. We can't discern between good and evil. Remember, the entrance of your word gives light. What is the difference between the world and us? We just read the song. So what? I get drunk. So what? I smoke weed. They obviously do not have the word of God in their lives, right? And therefore do not have the discernment to know, hey, this is evil. I shouldn't have an attitude of so what. And the sad thing is, you get into a Christian world and we don't know the word of God any more than they do. So the song plays and we sing it right along with them. We live it right along with them. Because our senses are not exercised to discern between both good and evil. Now I'll end with this last example, because the picture that it leaves here again is the difference between a baby and somebody who's mature. Again, I have a 13-month-old and he knows how to crawl. He's strong enough now to pull himself up and walk along, you know, holding on to things. He can even climb up. He's been climbing up. He still, as many times as he's fallen off the couch, he still doesn't understand that you get close to the edge and you fall, it's going to hurt. And not only that, but anywhere he goes, anything that's attractive to him goes right in his mouth. So dad and mom have to look out for him, all right? Because he's a baby, he doesn't know how to discern between good and evil. You guys follow me tonight? It takes a mature person to say, all right, son, until he... Obviously, there's no fault against him. He's 13 months. What do you expect? But it takes an adult. It takes a mature person. Okay, don't put that in your mouth. Last example. if I were to put in front of, if I were to put in front of him some, I don't know, a glass of Windex, he would drink it. Would you drink it? No. I could put in front of him, I would never think of doing this, but for the sake of this example, I could put in front of him a glass of Raid. We're talking about bug poison, and he would drink it. Would you? All right, what if I came to you and I was like, here's a glass of Raid, and I gave it a cherry flavor? It tastes good. It tastes real good. Would you drink it? What if I said, ooh, it's cold, and it feels good going down? Would you drink it? No. No, because you know, you have the discernment to know, it may feel good, it may look good, it may taste good. I ain't going there. I have the discernment. You're not a baby anymore. So, don't be a baby. Why are fatal attractions attractive? Because a lack of the Word of God. Get the Word of God in your life. Get your senses exercised to discern between good and evil, and you will still clear. And you will steer clear of the junk of the world. If you got something good from God's Word,